Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling, tall pines are humming when Christmas time's coming. Can't you hear them bells ringing, ringing joy to all? Hear them singing when it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday, December 14th, 2023. I'm your host, Donna Leland. Today, we talk with Messianic Jew Jeff Siegel about his incredible testimony and how the Lord drew him to himself. Thanks so much for joining me on Mark and Friends. Well, we have a common friend, my producer, Huey Freeman, and he said, make sure we start off with your testimony. And you guys actually grew up kind of in the same neighborhood.
I grew up in Chicago, and we both love sports, and I went to a school called Sullivan High. What was really incredible, Donna, is I grew up in Chicago. I grew up about a block and a half from the beach, right off of Sheridan Road, Loyola University. My neighborhood and Huey's were like 40 to 50% Jewish. Now, that's a lot of Jewish people in the city of Chicago, and what was really neat was everyone just got along. You know, whether you were Jew or Gentile, it was a great upbringing, and a lot of our camaraderie had to do with sports.
Mm. So you grew up, were you Orthodox? Were you just kind of secular Jew?
Now, I personally, if you say, Jeff, would you have considered yourself modern-day Orthodox? No, I was probably like, personally, a conservative Jew. I really appreciate that I went to a congregation that would define Judaism for me.
Now, it would really be at the University of Illinois that the Lord began to draw you to himself. How did that happen?
Donna, what was going on is there was a move of the Holy Spirit at the University of Illinois campus. And it was through the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. My junior year, when we went on our spring trip again to the University of New Mexico, after I had pitched in relief one afternoon, and I came back to my room with my roommate told me that Billy Graham was speaking, and he asked me if I would go with him to a Billy Graham crusade that evening. I'm thinking to myself, Jewish kids from Chicago don't go to these kind of gatherings.
Yeah.
So I took a rain check. Well, in those days, my thing was I went out with my Italian and my Greek buddies from the baseball team. We went out disco dancing. It was the John Travolta era, and we disco danced the night away. But when I got back to my room that night, my roommate said to me, Siegs, you really missed it tonight. I said, what did I miss? He said, I got saved tonight. I said, saved? What did you get saved from? He said, I became a Christian. My friend, who was a great athlete, he would go to church every Sunday. And it really confused me. I said, how does a Christian who goes to church become a Christian? So my friend and roommate on the spring trip explained, he said, Mr. Graham explained, just because a mouse is in a cookie jar doesn't make them a cookie.
Mm.
He said, just because I went to a church building didn't make me a Christian. He said, Jeff, I wasn't a follower of Messiah. I wasn't a follower of Christ. And he said, today I had a born-again experience where I asked Jesus into my heart. I repented of my sins. I accepted his being the sacrifice for my sins, that he died on a cross, that he was raised from the dead, and so now he's my Lord and Savior. I'll tell you, Donna, my mind was blown.
Wow, what a clear gospel.
Yeah, it was utterly amazing. And then, so my senior year, this move of the Holy Spirit on campus continued as I would go to my classes. So what was unique about University of Illinois, again, where I was in a Jewish fraternity house called Tau Epsilon Phi, and as I would walk out of the fraternity house, there was other fraternity houses, we just got along with everybody and all the athletes. It was really special on campus. We just had this special camaraderie, and especially if you were a letterman or if you were written up in the campus newspapers, everyone just kind of knew me. I kind of knew them. And they would go out of their way. These born-again Christian athletes would go out of their way to cross the street and actually come and shake my hand or hug me and say, "Jeff, we love you, man. You're one of God's chosen people."
Mm.
And I kind of looked up to heaven and I looked at them. I saw this peace in their eyes and I saw a sincerity, and that they had a love for Israel and a love for the Jew that I didn't see or I didn't hear about within my family growing up. I said to myself, this is a different kind of Christian. And they just had this peace and sincerity. I could tell when they prayed, they were getting answers. So my friend, who had gotten saved, said that a famous Christian lady was going to speak at the FCA huddle on a Thursday night. And he invited me, but I'm thinking, you know, Jewish kids from Chicago don't go to these kind of gatherings. And I said, look, I'll take a rain check. You tell me what this lady has to say. Well, I found out that night. So my Gentile friend, who was on the baseball team with me, also played on the football team. We really liked him. And because he had such a love for me and love for Jewish people, we actually grafted him in and asked if he would live at our fraternity house. Well, he came home that evening and said, "Siegs, you really missed it this time." I said, "What did I miss?" He said, "Well, there was this famous Christian lady who her and her family were hiding Jewish people in the walls of their home. They were clockmakers, and their last name was called Ten Boom."
Wow.
He said, "Jeff, a lady named Corey Ten Boom came and spoke at our huddle tonight. And when he told me more about Corey, I said to myself, whatever the real deal is, she and her family is it." I said, "Why would Gentiles want to risk their neck for a Jew unless they were true Christians?" And that really began to set me on a journey, you know, where I had to have some answers. Mm. That's when I would say the window shades of ignorance began to, spiritual scales began to fall off my eyes, and I began to seek. I spoke to my grandpa. My grandpa was a Romanian Jew who actually was caught in a pogrom when he was a little boy, and he and his sister had to escape Romania and come to the States because of what happened. So understand my understanding of Christianity were people who hated Jewish people, who wanted to force convert them, etc. And now I'm seeing a whole different generation of people who were born again, who loved Israel, and loved me so much that they would cross the street. As a matter of fact, my friend brought the campus huddle pastor to one of our ball games that I was pitching in. And this campus pastor who ran the huddle, which was a huge huddle, his name was Jerry Gibson, and he came and shook my hand. He says, "Jeff, I love you, man." He said, "You're pitching today." He said, "Good luck. And know that my wife and I are sitting in the stands. We're praying for you. We're always here for you. You know, we'd like to have you sometime to our home for dinner, whatever." And he did it like the others did. He goes, "We love you, man. You're one of God's chosen people." Then the last day of my senior year, my best friend since 9 years old, we played baseball together on the Sullivan High baseball team. He was a center fielder. I was pitcher, played outfield and infield. His name was Neil Siegel. And so the last day of my senior year, I was pitching against Michigan State. He came to our apartment, which is right across the street from the baseball field, and said, "Siegs, I want you to know, after a careful examination of the Hebrew scriptures, I've come to the conclusion that the promised Jewish Messiah has already been here." I said, "Neil, what have you done?" I said, "Were you baptized?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Neil, you're not Jewish anymore." He said, "Jeff, not only am I still Jewish," he said, "I'm a completed Jew." He said, "Jeff, I believe if you read the Hebrew scriptures from Genesis to Malachi for yourself," he said, "I believe that you will come to the same conclusion as me." This was the very day I was 4-0 was my record, and Neil so upset me. So my only loss was against Michigan State that year. I pitched pretty good, but Michigan State played better that day. So that was my first loss. I got accepted to graduate school, physical education, to work on my master's degree. The head coach said, "Jeff, how would you like to be my graduate assistant? You'll run the junior varsity, be my assistant." He gave me another scholarship. So on one hand, life was good going into my graduate year. And I made a promise with the Lord. My junior year, I had a little bit of an off year. And I cried out to God. I said, "God, I don't exactly know who you are. I know that you are, because during the Holocaust, the Jewish people could not exist unless you put a stop to it in the end. And you saved us, even though there was great loss." And this is what I said: "Who are you?" And I said, "I remember one of my ancestors." See, the last name Segal or Siegel is from the tribe of Levi. And I had gone to Hebrew school. I was bar mitzvahed. I went for 5 years. I knew I was a Levite. And so I said, "God, you know I'm a Levite. And Moses, who was one of our tribal leaders, had a burning bush experience. And at that burning bush, you told him who he was, that he was a Jew, because you said, 'I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.' So you said basically to Moses, 'You're a Jew.' And then the second thing you said to him is, 'Go to your people.' In other words, you revealed your life purpose to Moses." I said, "God, you birthed me for some reason. I don't know exactly what it is, but I am of the opinion that if I could have a burning bush experience too, whatever that would mean, that you would tell me my purpose in life." I said, "God, are you and Jesus one and the same? You're going to have to help me theologically, because my friend Neil says that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one God." I said, "I'm counting three gods, but maybe I have a misunderstanding. You got to help me there." And I said, "Is Jesus my burning bush experience?" Donna, I opened to the first page of the Bible, but the Bible I had, half of the page was in the Hebrew language and half was English. And Hebrew goes much deeper than English to help with those issues, like with the Trinity, that I was confused about. So I went right for the first verse, and it says, "In the beginning, God, Bereshis bara Elohim." Now, all of a sudden, my mind was opened, and I said, "In the beginning, God, Elohim." The singular version, if it's just one God, would be El. But this says Elohim, plural. And then in verse 26, it says, "Let us create man in our image." So whoever God was creating with, our, was creating with God, who is God. I said, "God is one, but it's a plural one." And a mystery was beginning to open to me. So I realized God one. And the second issue is, for God to be the Messiah, he would have to inhabit a physical body. So after reading on, I got to Genesis 18, and it says, "Three men came to the tent of Abraham. Two of the men turn out to be the angels who went to take Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. But the one man in a physical body who stayed behind, who actually had lunch with Abraham in a city called Hebron, the name of the spot was called Mamre. Abraham had pitched a tent there with his family when the three men came to visit. And one of the name of the men was Adonai Elohim, in a physical body. God can inhabit a physical body if he wants. Here was the kicker. Well, two scriptures. One talked about a new covenant, Jeremiah 31, with Israel and Judah, and that a day would come that God would put his law inside the hearts of the Jewish people. He would take away their sin, and all Israel would be saved. So I saw something in the future coming, and I said, wow, this new covenant that Neil was talking about, there's something to what Neil's talking about. Then down to the last point in Scripture, the Bible talks about a servant, Isaiah 52 and Isaiah 53, that would die for them and for all as a sin offering. It said that seven times. So I asked the cantor of my synagogue, who is this servant, the suffering servant? He goes, oh, that's Israel coming out of the Holocaust. And I said, yeah, but so I didn't challenge him. I went back to my apartment and I studied further and I just said to myself, Israel can't be that servant because this servant is dying as a sin offering, and a sin offering always has to be inspected and it has to be perfect. I said, so neither Israel or the Gentile nations are perfect. There's somebody else dying for the Jewish people and also for the Gentiles. So I just said to myself, well, I said, the only entity or the only one who's perfect is God. But for God to shed his blood to be that sacrifice, he would have to come live among us and take on a physical body. And I said, oh my gosh, everything said in the Bible, in the New Testament, but the whole story about Jesus is right here in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Scriptures. Donna, I wasn't looking for it to be Jesus, but God through the Scriptures was revealing a different Jesus to me. Now listen to this. He was revealing the Jewish Jesus to me.
Wow.
The real Jesus, not the fake Jesus that many Gentiles would use to say that Jewish people are Christ killers, therefore they deserve the wrath of man. In other words, the wrath of Christians to force convert Jewish people and to shame them. But the true gospel message that the Apostle Paul talked about said, do not be arrogant toward the natural branch, because if God could break off people from the natural branch and install wild olives into that branch, so he could break off the wild ones as well. So Paul, contrary, said, don't be anti-Semitic, but love Jewish people. Let God be the judge. I said, Jesus is who he said he was. He's the promised Jewish Messiah, but he's also the King of Kings. He is the one that God promised to King David that there would be one who would sit on his throne forever and be the King of the Jews. Pilate said to Jesus, are you the King of the Jews? So he's King of Kings, but he's also Lord of Lords. He's God and King and Savior. I didn't know how to do it. I just fell down on my knees in front of my bed. I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. Dear Jesus, you are the one. You are my burning bush experience. Please come into my heart. I said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I cannot save myself. I said, I have so many sins in my life. I said, forgive me for my ignorance. Forgive me for false understandings about you. Now it's clear. And then the next week, I called upon my friend Neil, my friends from Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and they baptized me at the lake of the home of a former baseball team member. And then the following week, I called my dad to tell him what I had done.
How did that go?
Oh boy. I said, Dad, after a careful examination of the Hebrew Scriptures, I've come to the conclusion that Jesus is the promised Jewish Messiah. He said, Jeff, were you baptized? I said, yes, I was, Dad. He said, don't ever come home. You are not my son anymore. He says, you're worse than Adolf Hitler, and you are a traitor to your people.
Mm.
My dad slammed the phone down. He broke down and cried. That was the only time in my whole life that I heard my dad cry. And Donna, this went on for 26 years.
26 years.
Right before Christmas, maybe November-ish, my brother, my youngest brother, was going to Willow Creek, and his wife is a Christian. Her father was a pastor, and he, unbeknownst to me, explained that he took an Old Testament class, and he said, you know, Jeff, when you gave your life to Jesus years ago, he said, I thought you were a mishugana, a crazy person. He said, I didn't know why you did that. He said, in my eyes, you shamed our family, you were a traitor. But he said, today I realize that what you did should make sense to a Jewish person, because I've been in this Bible study at church. And he said, will you forgive me for rejecting you? He said, and how did it happen for you? So Donna, I just shared with him, you know, like I'm sharing with you in the audience, just the natural progression through college athletes who were very sincere, you know, Jews getting saved and Gentiles getting saved, and the sincerity. And one foundational thing that I knew Bruce, that my brother would understand, is this love of Gentiles toward Israel. And so we were done with our talk. I laid out my testimony to him. And then 3 days later, at the edge of his bed, he took his wife's hand and said, let's pray together. And he prayed pretty much like I did. Dear Jesus, please come into my heart. I'm a sinner. I need you to be a savior. You are the forgiver of my sins. And then his father-in-law, weeks later, baptized him.
You're listening to the testimony of Jeff Siegel. He is the founder and director of Go Global Ministries, an outreach all around the world using sports and other means to reach others for the gospel. There's so much left to his testimony. What's his dad's reaction? Where did his ministry take him? But we're going to have to reconnect with Jeff on another Mark and Friends. Well, thanks so much for joining me. I'm Donna Leland, your host on Mark and Friends. You can always hear this conversation again. We put it as an MP3 on our website, and so you can access it anytime you want. Thanks again. Mark and Friends is a ministry of Great News Media and the WLUJ family of stations.